Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Happy birthday, Willie Mays. I love you, dear and true. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Nobody will ever be better than you. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Oh, the joy you brought to me. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Oh, so much fun. Oh, wonder and glee. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Oh, you were the absolute best. There were only two kind of players in baseball, Willie. You and all the rest. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. That fame number 24. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. When he stepped to the plate, the crowd would roar. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. You and your basket catch. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Your leaps against the very best. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. And I say this so sincere and true. Oh, Willie Mays, you were the best. Mr. Mays, how much I will and did and always love you. Happy birthday, Mr. Mays. Doc Stanley and the Sports and Death Nation on the Blake Radio Network. Happy birthday to you. We love you deeply, sir. You weren't the best. You were the absolute best. As Ali would say, the greatest of all times. Doc Stanley, Sports Up with the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Source Sports Up the Show. Willie Mays, happy birthday part two. I just was befuddled that it was no mention of Willie's birthday. I'm going to let them talk. Bill Gallo did a piece. I'm going to pull that out. And I wasn't too happy how we aired the first part. I did a poem. I did a couple of poems of Willie. That one I just made up. But I did one back in 1968. In June of 68, I dated the poem. It's amazing. Leroy Neiman said that. And he has a drawing of Willie Mays in the Hall of Fame. Willie Mays on deck. He just talked about the excitement of Willie Mays just being on deck. And Dusty talked about it, too, the aspect of when Willie wasn't up, you was waiting to went in the field. I mean, everything stopped. And that was the thing about Willie Mays. As a kid, being a Yankee fan, not a Yankee fan, being growing up in New York, you know what? Let's get to Mr. Coltrane first. Give all homage to the master who made Willie Mays and all of us. And then we'll come back and talk about Willie Mays and say some happy birthday tributes to him. But right away, the only one and true God. And I remember that line in the Ten Commandments. The great Yul Brynner, who played Ramses, after his army is drowned in the Red Sea and is conquered and all the plagues are put upon him, and he comes back and he sits on his throne and he says, Moses, God, is the one true God. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for Willie Mays' birthday. And even though it's not our birthday, we thank you for another day. As Alvin says, Reverend Al Sharpton, any day above ground is a good day. We thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being in America. Thank you for our president. We thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. Blessings and unseen, undeserved, unmerited, and unknown. And we ask you, Lord, not to give us what we want, but what we need. We need you every minute, every hour. And we thank you in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, it's part two. And Donald Byrd in the background. We're saying happy birthday to Willie Mays. And he was an artist. He was one of a kind. And we got Mel Smith Jr. and this gentle baby Lewis back. And you said something, Dusty, that it was so right. When Willie wasn't at the plate or in the game, you lost focus. I remember as a kid.
You don't want to see anybody else.
Yeah, you're right. And I remember as a kid, and And they talked about Mickey Mantle. What a great player. And Mantle held all the speed, but he wouldn't steal bases. Mantle held his power, but he struck out half the time.
Exactly.
You really had a great catch or a great throw made by Mickey Mantle. But Willie Mays, man, I mean, Willie could do anything. I remember Chris Boyd, 62 World Series, said he hit a drive, center field. And he starts running to first base, and he starts saying, wait, what am I running for? He's out there. What am I running for?
And no sense of the hustling it out because he got it.
Sid Gatman Jr., who was the producer who produced the John Sterling Show when John was on WMCA, and he talked about, you know, when they would go to the polo grounds and somebody would hit a fly ball to center field, there was a Giant fan talking about, it's in the well, it's in the well. It's in the well, it's in the well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just saying happy birthday. So, and you know, the thing about Willie, and, I you know, people forget what he did from a civil rights standpoint of view. You know, Willie did a lot of things that he didn't get a lot of recognition for because he didn't want things like accolades for. It was just what he had to do. You know, Willie was a guy. They say Willie Mays have been the most cerebral baseball player that ever lived. And the guy said, you know, if you watch the game in San Francisco, Willie Mays was directing traffic in the outfield. And then the pitcher said, you know, he looked, and Mays was in one spot, and then he threw the pitch, and looked, Mays was in another spot. And when he went to the – he said, well, what happened? He said, well, you know, your fastball started tailing off a little bit, so I knew that he was going to pull it. But everybody has a Mays catch, a Mays throw, that great – I mean, one of his throws made the cover of Time magazine, wouldn't he? The cover of Time magazine.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Willie was, like I said, baseball royalty, an amazing ball player, like I said. And these days, Doc, of guys being kind of one-dimensional, he would be like one of the original five tool players.
Yeah, well, we talked about on the last show. You're right. I mean, and lifetime 300 batting average, over 600
home runs.
660. And the thing about Willie.
Yeah, over 500.
660. Club, 660. Say, yeah. 660. If Mays doesn't play in Candlestick Park, Willie Mays breaks. Willie Mays would have hit conceivably 800 home runs. You figure, if you don't play in Candlestick Park, they only hit 200 home runs lifetime in Candlestick Park. No slugger had that kind of detriment. Okay. Give Willie the 2 years in the military. Okay, give him back. So that's 40 home runs. That's 700 home runs. Give him 10 balls a year. They didn't go out of Candlestick Park for 13 years. That's another 130 home runs. That's 830 home runs.
What about the times that he was walked?
You know, it was an amazing stat, though. The year when Barry Bonds got to 72 intentional walks, the year that he got 200, do you know that was more intentional walks than Willie Mays had the last 10 years of his career?
Why? Because of the fact of that they feared Barry Bonds, they just didn't want him to break any records.
The pitching was different. You know, the late Arthur Richmond said he was talking to Willie Mays one time, and he asked Willie, you know, if he was playing in today's game, you know, what would his numbers be like? Willie said, I hit about 420 something. I'd have 90 home runs and 200 RBIs. He said, because there's no pitching today. I mean, you know what gets me, Dusty? And we can expound on this because we've got I put some extra minutes plus with just us here. I'm surprised with this dead arm of Phil Hughes the way arms are babied.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You got quarters of shots today or yesterday?
Mm. Mm. You talk about a great pitcher. You know, one of the pitchers that Willie Mays owned was Whitey Ford.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I got a buddy. I'll send him a copy of this show too because he talked about my man Steve Glazer in Fortaleza, Brazil. He I told him about Willie Mays' birthday. He sent me an email. Happy birthday to Willie Mays. Steve told me a great story, man. A mind blow. I'm sitting in Fortaleza, Brazil, the place I love of all I've been to Brazil. I've been to Fortaleza, São Paulo, Porto Alegre, Goiânia, Belém, Manaus, Florianópolis, Bahia. We're sitting, as Steve says, Doc, you know, when you call here, don't ask about the weather because you know how the weather is, you know. He says, it's always sunny, 87 degrees. He told me yesterday, he said, Doc, you know what, When you ask about the weather, I'm going to tell you. He said, you ever see the movie Endless Summer? That's the weather here in Fortaleza. And he told me this story, Rooney, that was a mind blower. A mind blower. He said he's a kid, because Steve is from, it's ironic, amazing thing. Steve was born in Brooklyn, moved to a section in São Paulo, Brazil, that was called Brooklyn. That was the Brooklyn section. And check this out. They called it that because people from Brooklyn, New York, started moving there. I remember when I first went to Brazil, we went to São Paulo, and I looked around and said, I can't believe this. I'm in Brooklyn, Brazil. You know, I'm from Brooklyn. And Steve told the story of, as a kid, getting ready for school, they're playing stickball in the yard, and a limousine pulls up. And, in any era, you're going to be cognizant of a limousine. Guess who was in the limousine? Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle.
Damn.
They get out and play stickball with him. He said, Whitey Ford is teaching him how to throw a curveball, and Mantle is showing him how to hit. And he told me, he said, Doc, you know what I mean? He says, you know, I've told this story for years. He said, not only have I finally got somebody that believes the story, but somebody that can relate to the story.
Wow.
I mean, here's a guy, now Steve is a guy, well, he moved to Brazil 10 years ago, speaks fluent
yeah.
Portuguese. But, I mean, he told me, and I'm sitting there, I said, man, can you believe this? Anyway, here I am in Brazil, and
yeah.
Steve is telling me a story about two of the greatest Yankees that ever know. Whitey Ford got the nickname Whitey because Lefty Gomez gave him that nickname. I asked Whitey that one time. He said he got the nickname because Lefty Gomez said that Whitey's blonde hair looked white, so that's why he
blonde,
said white.
He was a blonde, white-haired dude.
Exactly, and that's why he got the name Whitey Ford. Lefty Gomez gave him that name, and Mays used to own Whitey Ford. I mean, Mays used to he owned Whitey Ford, one of the great. I think Whitey Ford still has the most wins in the history of the New York Yankees.
Yep,
Edward Charles Ford. Ford, yeah, that's well, but Willie Mays, greatest catch in World Series history, 54 wins the batting title. The Roche had told him, hey, you know, cut down on the home runs. He was tearing up, hitting a lot of home runs, beat his teammate out for that. So Willie Mays, one of the few guys to win a batting title and a home run title. Like I said, at one time, him and Ralph Kiner were the only two players in National League history to hit 50 home runs more than once. Kind of led the league in home runs seven straight years. Tied and led the league seven straight years. And, I talked to Ralph about Willie, and he's, you know, I remember Ralph kind of said one time before the show, he said, you know, he said, Willie Mays looks like a Willie Mays.
He looks like a Willie. Well,
he said, Willie Mays.
What'd you expect?
Willie Mays. Yeah. You know,
Willie Mays.
You know what? I didn't know how much. I loved Willie. And I remember once me and Julius Erving became friends, and we were coming out of the locker room one time, and I said, you know, Julius, man, I love you, man. And he said to me, I'll never forget, you know, he looked at me, he said, Mel, he said, you know you don't love nobody better than Willie.
He knew it.
He said, Mel, you know you don't love nobody better than Willie. But, I mean, you just can't talk about the job. I said, I had to come home on a Friday. And then, man, just be, sort of 23-inning game. We get out there as often as we could. In those days, man, they'd play doubleheaders.
Doubleheaders,
man. Remember standing room only? Willie Mays, Dusty.
Exactly.
24, I was amazing. I remember asking him, did he realize his number 24 with Jackie Robinson's backwards? And, no, Monty Irvin was the guy that took Willie underneath his wing when Willie came to the Giants, and, you know.
He was a veteran.
And, you know, you and Mel, a couple of minutes, I'm going to let you have it. Just talk about your thoughts and reflections on the great Willie Mays, and say happy birthday to Willie. And I'm going to come back. I got an article from Bill Gallo. You know, Willie used to play stickball in the street with the kids at 75 Lenox Avenue. He lived up there. I think Bill White stayed there for a while, but just can't say enough about Willie Howard Mays. Dusty, thoughts and reflection. We've got us up a good 30 minutes. Last time we were down like about 10
minutes. It's like I started to tell you that it is the days that I remember Willie was always on top of things, playing. But I didn't want to see anybody else play, you know, except Willie. You know, there were a whole bunch of guys there on the team that were all superstars themselves, man. But, you know, I would walk away. I would be distracted. And the only guy that I would want to see would be, you know, Willie Mays. And I always found, that's another thing, too, that they talk about isolating him as being the top man, which is true. But I always seem to find a combination. I mean, if I talked about Willie Mays, I talked about McCovey. Years later. If I talked about McCovey, I talked about Bobby Bonds. And if those three guys, and then when Barry came on board, those are the four highlights that I remember of, you know, of those days, that I still remember those days. And even though you separate Willie from the rest of the crowd, those guys were still in the community. Sort of, they were like the supporting cast of a Willie Mays, you know, and you can support them. And there's another guy that I couldn't break away from, that crowd, that quintet, or that quartet of the best ball players in the world, was Hank Aaron, you know. So the fact of the matter is that he is a highlight. And today, unfortunately, Bobby is gone, and I think McCovey's gone too, right, Doc?
No. Stretch is still with us. Yeah, Stretch is with us. Yeah,
okay,
number 44.
But everywhere you go, it's always the highlight conversation, or the highlight is always Willie Mays, Willie Mays, Willie Mays. But, you know, and you see how low-key right now, although he broke Babe Ruth's home run, you got Hank Aaron, who's, yes, he's recognized everywhere, but it's always Willie Mays. That,
well, and
the,
you know what?
The diva or the star of the show.
Well, yeah, and you think about it, there was a Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake Ritter, the Rainbow Soul Sports Network show. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Part 2 tribute. Willie Mays, 80 years old today. Greatest baseball player to ever live. Ever. Better than Babe Ruth, better than Roger Maris, better than anybody. Only person better than Willie Mays was a younger Willie Mays when Willie Mays got older. And
well, Doc,
the thing about...
Didn't he have a son?
He adopted a boy, Michael Mays.
He never got to play ball or something?
No. He never got... In fact, he went to military school and stuff like that. Michael Mays, he adopted... In fact, I believe, because he married Margarita, but I believe when he married Margarita, she already had a daughter. In fact, her daughter married Frankie Crocker. Frankie Crocker,
oh,
one time was Willie Mays' son-in-law. Yeah,
no kidding.
One time. I'm looking through this book, My Life, said Willie Mays, his former wife Margarita, and his 5-week-old son. Yeah, Michael. Michael Mays.
Yeah.
They adopted Michael.
Right.
Michael Mays.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
She adopted Michael. Yeah.
Two things about Willie, Doc, that just come to mind.
Huh?
I mean, I was relatively young, but I actually did have the honor and pleasure of seeing, you know, him play via the television. Two things that kind of strike me about him, Doc. The crazy plays that you knew were hard that he was making, he kind of made them look easier than obviously you know that they were.
It's amazing that you mentioned that, because they talk so much about the ease and grace of DiMaggio, and you look at the ease and grace of Willie Mays.
Right.
Yeah, he was a ballet star in the outfield, man. Come on. Man.
He really was.
You just can't match with the other. You can't match him at all. What was a piece of cake for Willie Mays, it was a lot of more effort on Joe DiMaggio. There's no two ways about it.
Well, you know what, too? It's amazing. I remember Mays dropped the fly ball. Front page news. Remember, Dusty made the front page of Daily News. Remember?
Yeah. The front page
of the Daily News. I should have kept that head Willie signing.
Yeah.
Front
exactly.
Page of the Daily
page.
News.
Yeah.
Willie Mays dropped the fly. I remember my cousin Roy was talking about that. He said they were talking about how great Willie was. He said, man, the man dropped the fly ball, made the front page of the Daily News.
Exactly. I'm telling you.
And the other thing, Doc, and Casino, that I noticed when I see the old films of Mays and whatnot is, unlike some players of today, Doc never looks like he ever took a play off. Always hustled the first. Always hustled when he was running the bases. Always hustled. I mean, you know, Doc never took a play off. Not like today's ball players who, you know, it seems like half the time they play when they feel like it.
Well, you know the thing about today's ball players, you know, Rony, the guy has turf burn, the guy has cold,
turf toe.
You know what I mean? You know, they can't play. You know, they can't play. I'm going to read real quickly the poem. Open the show with a poem. I'm going to read this poem that I wrote about Willie back in June of 1968. You know what? In June of 1968, I was in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Yeah, and I wrote this poem. Say, hey, Willie, how God has blessed you with a combination of abilities God gives to few. Say, hey, Willie, they rate with you, but in my own feelings, no one compares with you. Say, hey, Willie, always there, hitting those homers, catching balls everywhere. Say, hey, Willie, this is just to say how God has blessed you, how much I love say. My dad, my older brother, they were talking about, we were watching the game, and Yankees were playing, and Duke was talking about Mickey Mantle. And my father said something I'll never forget. He says, as far as I'm concerned, Mickey Mantle can't hand Willie Mays his glove.
And
Willie Mays, the most outs ever caught by outfield over 7,000. I mean, what's that great line that Vin Scully? Hands down, he said. Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down. I mean, Willie Mays, best to ever do it, man. Best
well, he's overall ball player, Doctor, really. I mean, I know this is, well, everyone has their opinion, but I'm you know, obviously with you on this, and you could say as an all-around ball player, no contender today, no contest as far as, I mean, everybody else is a distant second.
Well, you know what I did? And I found the guy dovetailing the line, and I said, here's the bottom line of Willie Mays. Willie Mays is the only home run hitter to ever lead the league in stolen bases. Willie Mays led the league in stolen bases four straight years. Willie
exactly.
Mays led the league in stolen bases.
Yep, absolutely.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That's not
mind-boggling,
only,
man.
Not only one of the perennial home run hitters of his time, but like you said, Doc, the versatility to lead the league in stolen bases.
Four straight years in a row.
Exactly. The man had a knock. So
that's basically meaning that, hey, if the guy doesn't hit it out when you're throwing it to him, if he gets a base, the odds are he's going to steal second and third anyway.
They tell me one time, Willie, after stealing second, stole first, realizing that went back and stole first because Willie had to leave the gap open for Willie McCovey to hit. I'm looking for this chapter in the Willie Mays, My Life In and Out of Baseball, and I wanted to read this chapter. And I can never forget that moment in late July of 61 when we came into New York to play the Yankees exhibition game at the stadium. This is from the San Francisco Examiner story. The Giants had come home in a driving, steaming summer rainstorm. The big town turned out to say hello. There was no pregame practice. It was raining. The pregame home run contest, Cepeda and Mays for us, Mantle and Mays for them, was called off. It was raining. Game time was held up half an hour past the scheduled 7:55 start. We'll never play tonight, Alvin Doctor said. Look outside and you'll change your mind, he was told. And he went down the runway up into the visiting dugout along the third base line and looked. Wow, he said reverently. There in the rain sat the people waiting. They could have stayed home and watched it on free TV, but they were there. Ladies and gentlemen, said the Yankees announcer, giving the lineup for the San Francisco Giants. At second base, number 14, Joey Amalfitano. Cheering started. Number 7, Harvey Keene, right field. It got louder. Number 24, you never heard the rest of the Giant batting order that here tonight. An unbroken, throat-swelling peal of adulation sprung from the hearts of Giant starved New Yorkers. It rolled and volleyed off the great tiering of this triple-deck palace and against the vague outline of the Bronx County Courthouse. Looming in the gray mist out beyond the huge scoreboard in right center field. They rocked and tunneled and shouted and stamped and sang. It was joy and love and welcome. You never heard a cascade of sound quite like it. That was the moment that was the one that will always have the best place in my heart. Not that there haven't been others, but no others like that, said Willie. No others like that. I mean, he's an unbroken, throat-swelling pearl of adulation sprung from the hearts of Giant Star of New York. It rolled and volleyed off the great tiering of this triple-deck palace and against the vague outline of the Bronx County Courthouse, looming in the gray-black mist, out beyond the huge scoreboard in right center field. They rocked and totaled and shouted and stamped and sung. It was joy and love and welcome. You never heard a cascade of sound quite like it. May said, that was the moment. That was the one that will always have the best place in my heart. Not that there haven't been others, but none of us like that.
Whoa.
Gotta touch it, man. Gotta touch it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's
gotta
good
touch
writing.
It. In the rain. In the rain. You know, Willie
and
Mays.
And, Doc, let me just give kudos to you, Doc. And I'm sure that the entire Sports In Depth Nation owes you a debt of gratitude because you are one of the few. And, Christino, I'm sure that you would concur. The good doctor is one of the few who would take a moment like this to commemorate the birthday of a great William Howard Mays. And I'm sure the sports in depth nation applauds you for it, doctor.
Thanks, man. You and Dusty, me and Dusty have so much fun here. And thank you, man. But, you know, service to others that you meant you pay for your space on Earth. And I was blessed. And thanks, Mooney. And, you know, we got a con. You want to brought that stuff, Sports and Depth Nation, to us, too, which we thank you for. Willie was just such a, I've been around him. I remember the last time I saw him, he was at Yankee Stadium. He was going, so I said, Mr. Mays, you got time for a picture? Hey, man, I got time for a picture. And he's told me some personal things that, you know, when we need little interviews and talk with him. And Willie's always been there. Eddie Murray, and I can say this to you guys, because you guys are family. There's family here. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, Sports Network, the show. Happy birthday to Willie Mays. Mm-hmm. The Finest TV Winner, we'll play a little bit. We'll close up. I remember I asked Hank Aaron one time, how good was Willie Mays? Hank said, he was good. And there was, he told me, man, that, you know, Hank had had a problem. Hank had had a problem with Willie being considered the greatest player to ever play. And they did a documentary. And it was Willie. It was Willie who stepped up and said, hey, man, you know, we ain't got no problem. And Willie, there were some who thought Willie had some Thomas attitudes, you know, but Willie was always there for the civil rights movement, you know. Willie was always there doing things that were advantageous to both black and Hispanic players.
Yeah.
I remember, it was Willie Mays that Barack Obama brought to the White House. It wasn't Barry Bonds. It wasn't Hank Aaron. You know what I mean? It wasn't Derek Jeter. Willie told him. He said, you know, like I did. He said, no. I didn't think we'd have a black president. And Obama said, well, here we are, Willie. Here we are on Air Force One. Willie Mays. I remember the first baseball game my mother ever saw. Willie Mays. My dad looked so much like Willie. My friend Fred Bishop just said my dad looked like Willie Mays. And the gyroscope, thin leg, but. Thanks, Mooney. It's just, you know, but all good ones are there from God. I love Willie Mays. I just think that, you know, how can you not remember Willie Mays? A hot summer day up in the Old Polo Grounds. Willie stopped, took a picture with me. I got a couple of pictures with me and Willie. I'm going to try to get that piece. I'm going to stick it up that I did about Willie back in the, Big Red days. Willie Howard Mays, greatest baseball player ever played. Over 3,000 base hit, .3028, 660 home runs, .302 lifetime batting average, the greatest all-star of all time. Like I said, Willie Stargell told me the game was, I asked him, Mr. Stargell, who's the best player ever played the game? And he answered the question, Rooney, as if like 2 and 2 is 4. Dusty, it's like, you know, come on, you know, everybody will answer to that. You know, everybody will answer that question. You know, he said, Willie. And so now, you know, I'm playing the journalist. Why? He said, because the game was made for Willie. The game was made for Willie.
You're telling me that Abner Doubleday was saying, I'm going to have a Willie Mays in my business. So I'm going to roll it around.
The black players, Art Russ, and Confession of a Baseball Junkie, and that's where I met Arthur George. And he said, you could feel and see the electricity in the young one. And he told me, he's no doc, you know. I know I said Joe is the greatest heavyweight of all time. I know I said Joe the Magic greatest. But he said, it's Ali and it's Willie.
Yeah.
It's Ali and it's Willie. You know, he told me, you know, Arthur George, and who was a personal friend of Willie's. You know what I mean? And, well, you just can't see enough. Doc Sandy, Sports Network, and the Blake, the Urban Rainbow Show, Sports Network, the show we're talking about, and we're saying happy birthday to the greatest baseball player that ever lived, and one of the greatest human beings, 1954 Athlete of the Year. He won the batting title. He had come back after 2 years in the military, and the myth now was being built. Willie Mays is the World Series. Giants were the World Series in 51. Mays was a rookie of the year. Was on deck battle when Bobby Thompson hit the historic home run. He comes back in 54, leads the league in batting, and the Giants to the World Series. And makes the greatest catch in World Series in baseball history. And now in 1955, and this is the thing where you look at Rooney and you talk about the home runs, because he was hitting an ordinary amount in 54. I got to look up what the number was. But he comes back and wins the batting title in 54 and the home run title in 55 with 51 home runs, and becomes the youngest man ever in the history of baseball to hit 50 or more home runs. And then he's also the only man to win MVP 11 years apart, where he conceivably could have won it every year. And then he turns around at 65. Yeah. 65 now, after 10 years after 55, and hits 50 home runs again and joins Ralph Kiner as the only two players at that time in National League history to hit 50 home runs twice.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I know something, Doc, when you think of that, well, that's just not even item I wasn't even familiar with. Are you saying that he won? Did you say he won the MVP 10 years apart?
11 years.
He won it in '54,
and then won it again in 65.
And you know, Dusty, you being an athlete, you could cut that 11 years into like five. Most athletes' of careers have come and gone. It's over with, done, and he still won an MVP.
And it was the article in Look Magazine that they say Willie Mays could conceivably win it every year. I thought he should have won it in 62. I don't know how Wills won it in 62. And then I looked at the stats that Frank Robinson had in 1962, and it was mad. Robinson had like 349. But I mean, the Giants won the pennant. Willie led the league in home runs, but Murray Wills sold 102 bases. But I thought Willie should have won it. That was an amazing stat too. I was looking at yesterday, Dusty. You got three guys in the American League hitting over 400 right now. Does it?
Well, wow, yeah. He's saying that, yeah. He said
You know what? Doc Stanley, Sports Network, with Blake, but in Rainbow Show, Sports Network, with the show. Let me slow down. Doc Stanley, happy birthday, Willie Mays. Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, you know, Sports Network, show with tribute to Willie Mays. You know what? I'm sending a tribute. I wanted to.
And then, Doc, I would be remiss if I didn't say this in the little bit of time we have left. I'm going to wish my dad, Belton Jr., a happy birthday.
When's his birthday?
Tomorrow, the 7th.
However, okay, it's tomorrow.
However,
okay, happy birthday to your dad.
I'm sorry.
God bless him. Happy birthday to him,
yeah.
Yes, I will, because, you know, I don't know if we're going to be, you know, doing the show now, so. It might be a day early, but
then we'll mention it again, which will be a day late on Sunday.
Well, Doc, I just wanted to wish him in front of you and Dusty and our entire huge Sports in Depth Nation a happy birthday to Mel Smith Sr.
Good, great.
Happy birthday, Mel Smith Jr.
And what we're doing, I'm looking at the Bill Gallo did an article back in March of just last year. Okay, folks. Here was a ball player. Every one of us who grew up loving the game of baseball had to love the way Willie Mays played it. Willie did so with such natural grace, with nary a sign of abandon. Every neighborhood kid thought he could do the same. Yeah, he plays hard, but look how easy he makes it look. You just said that, Dusty. I can't keep supporting you like this. Now, don't think it's going to be a habit. I'm reading this because Gallo wrote it, okay? There's a book out now called Willie Mays, The Life, The Legend by James S. Kirch. It's a nice piece of work, and you can't miss enjoying it, which I just told you about. I remember Willie as a kid who, in 1951, caught New York Giants manager Leo Dorsch's eye, and in no time instantly became the talk of the town. This is a can't-miss kid, the New York papers were writing. As New York waited to see this kid, load of electricity, 5'10 bundle of ball player, his beginnings at the plate were not auspicious. He wasn't hitting the ball at all, like you said, Dusty, and fickle fans started to wonder what was the fuss all about. the Rocha, however, wasn't a big bird. Soon and very soon, this kid will start hitting balls over the roof, Lippi said. Still, the beginning was painful for Willie. He went hitless his first Rooney 12 times at bat. He broke from that streak in his 13th game when he parked a woman spawn pitch over the left field roof of the Polo Grounds. But then it took another 13 game slump before he gets his second hit. During his time in the majors, Willie broke all kinds of records, but I won't go into stats here because they have books where they record it. And as Stacy Stengel used to say, you can look it up. During May's time, there was a constant unofficial competitive game going on in New York. It was which center fielder was the best, Willie, Mickey, or the Duke. Yeah, there was Duke Snider in center field for Brooklyn, those dear Dodgers. Mickey out of the Hoyt Yankees and Willie Roman center for the stud and steady Giants. What a trio that was. And did we have such fun then? Who was a better one? Well, just a few honest-to-goodness Dodgers fans would admit to liking Snider over the other two. But that, in my opinion, was stretching the point. For me, it was solely between Mickey and Willie. And because of the type of their play, I always considered Willie the best. I reasoned that Willie could win more games for his team than Mantle did for his. I can't close this argument without bringing up that miraculous catch Mays made off of Wirt's bat in the 1950 World Series.
Exactly. And, that broke the back.
In the interview, Pete uses a word that's so profoundly apt to describe what Willie Mays gave baseball fans while he played for the game. The word is joy. And what better way to describe what we get out of watching baseball as it should be? And there's a line that Pete Rose said, I've got it here, and Pete Rose said something about Willie Mays, don't move, I'm going to get it for you. Don't you guys, don't move. Dusty! I said don't move.
Hey, but Dusty, it is remarkable the numbers that Willie put up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it you would, think about the, you know,
go,
you know
go, go,
what, Dusty, I don't have to tell you being a former athlete. You know, when a guy can beat you that many ways, he can beat you with his speed and his feet. He can
yeah,
beat you with his sheer power.
Legs.
He can beat you,
you
with
his you know what Sal Mariano told
word,
me?
That's what
you
the
know
word
Sal
Mariano
told
me?
Sal Marciano, because, you know, Mays and Clemente played on the same winter team in Santurce, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
One year they won the championship when Clemente hit a home run to tie the game up, and Mays hit one to win the game. Because that's where Clemente got the basket catch with him and Willie played. And then Sal Marciano told me that they won the championship the next year, one of the years. Game is tied. Willie Mays is on third base. Willie Mays stole home, and they won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Mays stole home. And here's a great line from Pete Rose.
Which is a lost art, by the way, Doc, in these modern times, stealing home.
One too many years ago, this is how Pete Rose described Willie Mays. When you play on the same field as him, sometimes you have to remind yourself that you're playing on the same field as him because you don't belong there, because nobody does. God damn. What a great line. I remember. It's funny, Pete, because Joe Morgan and Pete, Joe said they were kicking it around the clubhouse. Joe would tell about this. They were kicking it around the clubhouse one day, and you know they had kind of come to the resolution that they both were Hall of Famers, and you know and Pete, you know, Pete said, you know, he played his first battle Hall of Famer. Hey Rooney, Joe Morgan told him, you ain't no Willie Mays.
I'm coming from Joe, sure.
I can imagine the way Joe did. Chelsea, you know what? you ain't no Willie Mays.
And I can imagine the way he said it with that kind of drive.
Because I got a buddy of mine. You know, he says whenever they start talking about baseball plays, the way he ends the conversation, you know what? He said, you know what? He ain't no Willie Mays. End the conversation. You know what I mean? But yeah, I love that line, Dusty. You know, he said Joe.
Yeah.
You know, him and Pete were kicking it, man. And you know, and then Peter comes to Reggie. He told the Hall of Fame, and Pete says, Joe told him, you know, who do you think you are? He says, you know, you ain't no Willie Mays. What a great tribute. Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake County Rainbow Show Sports Network for the show. Going to a little quick break. Dusty, you can do some more reflections. I'm going to try to get another article here.
Manny Pacquiao weighed 145 pounds and Mosley weighed 147.
Dusty, did you have
45 and 47? Interesting.
Huh?
Did you have to throw that in? And we're talking Willie Mays. You know, it's funny you said that because, you know, I got a great picture. I remember a great, no, you said it, of Mays and Charles Barkley at a fight out in Vegas.
Really, Doc?
Hey, Dusty, remember that? Hold on, here we go. Remember that time? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
I got a good point. Dusty, talk about, remember how the commissioner had really made messing. Remember he was going to ban Willie and Mickey because they were greeters down Atlantic City? Talk about that for a minute. Remember that?
Yeah. No.
Remember Bowie Kuhn had banned Willie and Mickey Mantle for a while because they were greeters down in Atlantic City?
Yeah, because they went to Atlantic City, they got greedy jobs, just like Joe Louis and Sugar Ray Robinson in Las Vegas. And so I don't know what, you know, and Bowie Kuhn, Mr. Clee himself, you know.
And not only that, but you're right, because they were greeters.
They were greeters. What the heck?
Yeah, which is perfectly legal.
Nothing. That nothing to do with gambling. But they were greeters because of the personalities that they were. And that brought in the crowd. And all of a sudden,
didn't George Steinbrenner own horses?
Steinbrenner has owned a horse since he was a teenager. I mean, come on, the man.
You know.
Yeah, and
racehorses, yeah.
Made illegal contributions to political candidates. And remember, he had that dude, that drunk,
Dave Winfield. He had that thing trying to investigate Dave many moons ago.
Dave Winfield, yeah, that junkie went to prison.
Right. Yeah. Was it Spiro? Howie Spiro, I believe it was.
Was it Spiro, Dusty? I don't remember his name, but I remember.
What are you talking about?
The guy who
that George tried to get some dirt on Dave Winfield.
Oh, Howie Spiro.
Yeah, it was Spiro then, okay.
Spiro. Doc, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned Yankees. Do you know that Herman Franks had a group of people that were trying to buy the Yankees, and had they bought the Yankees, Willie Mays was going to be the player manager on the Yankees? Herman Franks, who used to manage the Giants, had a group of people that were looking to buy the Yankees. And if they got the Yankees, Willie Mays was going to be the player manager of the Yankees, of the group that was going to buy the Yankees. Doc Stanley, Sports Network with Blake, Red Herbert, Rainbow Soul, since Sports Network of the show. It's a tribute to Willie Mays, the greatest player to ever play the game, bar none. And we just taking time out here to pay tribute to the great Willie Howard Mays. He played for some time in the Negro Leagues. I got an autographed picture here from Birmingham Black Barons. I remember Carl J. Dent was remember Willie playing out in the right field, out there in the outfield against the Negro League players. But it was consensus by all that Jackie Robinson was the guy that was the should have been suitable. And I remember Willie. I read a quote one time. Willie said, "Every time I look at the money in my pocket, I think about Jackie Robinson." Willie Mays. And we had the tag words there. Hank Aaron, for a matter of $50, could have been in the outfield with Willie. Hank Thompson. Willie Mays and Monty Irvin made the first all-black outfield to play in the World Series in 1954. And with that, it's time for Coltrane. And we'll say, dear Lord, thank you for Willie Mays. Thank you for today. Thank you for the little things which the Lord should take for granted. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior. And thank you for another edition of Sports in Depth. Bless Rooney. Bless Dusty. Bless all our panel, my family here and in Brazil. And bless our mothers as Mother Day comes upon us. We love you. Thank you.
Sunday.
We ask these blessings. All the blessings. In your holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Happy birthday, Willie.
Thank you.
There was none better than you, Willie. And
happy birthday.
I always will love you. Happy birthday, Willie. Happy birthday to Willie Gang.
Happy birthday, Willie.
Happy birthday to the great one. and to all the legions and legions of women who are fans of the Sports in Depth Nation, a very happy Mother's Day to you all.
Thank you.
And
thank
we'll be,
you.
We'll be with you Sunday night. And I leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today, to stand before God tomorrow, and always trust in God. And gentlemen, hang on, because we're still going to do a couple of minutes with Sports in Depth with the mic off, mic on, lights off. A few minutes here. Just thank you guys. We're back here Sunday night. I'm trying to look maybe doing something from try to get some ladies in. I don't know.
Yeah, we can do that. Our own Lady A could take the lead. We have a bunch of different ladies.
Ronnie, let me kick this out here, Ronnie. You know what I mean? Let me.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Doc, look, I need bigger play now. I want to be in charge of guests too.
No. One thing about what I may try to do, I may try to get a hold of Art Russ' daughter.
Really?
She will come up a little while.
Wow.
And just a happy Mother's Day, and at the same time, you know, realize that Art Russ is the mother of Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, good for him. You know, Dusty, when I hear all those guys on other so-called Sports Talk, all Sports Talk stations and whatnot, they all of that to the icon, to the man who basically gave birth to that, the great late Arthur George Rush Jr.
There was a time
in this city when Rush was Sports Talk.
Well, it was, man. I mean, there was accusations of payola. People wanted to pay the. I mean, Art said, man, there were guys, but he couldn't turn when he had a show. Call him all the time. Okay, I guess so. Joe DiMaggio went up there, and with understanding, because Art was his guy, and they were each other's guy, okay, with the understanding that Joe was only going to stay there, you know, a half hour or so, you know, nothing long. And Art said he kept drinking half cups of coffee, man. They stayed there, doing it all night long, you know. But you know, Joe loved Art. Joe had a profound respect for Art, and I remember, I'll never forget as long as I live, when he introduced me to Joe DiMaggio stopped and said to me, on the way, because I was standing there, Rooney, you remember the old stadium, Rooney? When you would come, that long walk, and then there was the clubhouse, and I see somebody walking toward me. I think I told you so. I see somebody walking toward me, and they stop. And I look up, and it's Joseph Paul DiMaggio, and he smiles at me. It was nice to meet you. It was nice to meet you. And I remember, I was up in the press box one day, and one of the PR people came to me.
Uh-huh.
And Doc, he says, you know Joe DiMaggio, huh? And I was like, yeah. I said, well, what made him say that? He says, yeah. He says, because, you know, when you walk past me, he says, hey, where's that guy going, man? He must not have seen me. And ironically, I that was true. I went down there to see Joe, but he sat down in the chair, so when I sat down, I didn't see him. You know what I mean? And
you know, Doc, you've been very modest. Let's say, hey, Dusty, let me tell it like it is, all right? Because Doc is just going to be so modest, I can't stand it anymore, all right?
What?
Folks, the fact of the matter is, all right, that Joe, the great Joe DiMaggio, had a reputation for not having too much to say to too many people, all right? And for him to say, hey, nice to meet you, let me finish.
Yeah.
For Joe DiMaggio to say, hey, nice to meet you, was the equivalent of him giving a major speech, all right? Joe didn't have a whole lot to say to a whole lot of folks. You know what I mean? And for him to say, hey, nice to meet you, for Joe DiMaggio, that's the equivalent of him giving like a major speech about how great someone is. So if you really want to tell him like it is,
But you know what, Rooney, it's funny you say that and go off the grid. But you know what, man, and the good Lord. And yeah, well, I'm going to dovetail because we're up there. I'm going to dovetail on what you said now, you know. And we're up there. Old Timers Day. Barry Halpin, I said, Barry, Can you ask Joe to sign this picture for me? Barry brought the picture to me maybe a week or so later. Okay, here you go, Doc. Here's your picture. He said, Doc, that was the only thing Joe would sign that day. Your picture. You know?
He's a legend. It's a legend, and Dusty, I have to tell you, that is legend about the stuff that Joe did not believe in signing a whole lot of memorabilia.
Don Mattingly, when I told Don he signed something, he said, what? Don said, what? Rooney, Don said, what? Man, Joe didn't sign nothing.
Let me tell you something about Joe DiMaggio, man. Of course, you know, I was raised in the bottom of Spanish Harlem. We had the old time, the old gangbangers. We used to get together every August, I think, commemorating one guy. We used to have the stickball game. Guess who the hell would show up every year to participate and play a couple of innings in that damn stickball game, man?
Buster, you're kidding.
None other than Jody.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. The man used to come into a Spanish Harlem, 111th Street between 5th and Madison, with all the gangbangers, old-timers getting together. It's called the old-timers.
Joe had a great
respect. It's
called
the old-timers, bro.
He had respect and affection from enough. Howie Evans told the story of he would give Joe, Howie get there early, get the scorecards and erase them, and then he would give Joe one every time Joe would come in. And he said one day Joe came out and handed him a bat. He said, what's that? Joe said, well, you're always taking care of me, and I'm taking care of you. And he said, you know, Joe, too, in those days, you could bring people in and take them on the field. He said, Joe would bring them in and take them on the field. Joe, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people try to say, you know, Joe didn't speak up for the integration of baseball and the civil rights movement or something because, no, this is a conversation. You know, we got to run this, Dad. We got to run this another day because we're up there. Rizzuto said he had no problem playing with black players. But Joe's demeanor was a very reserved demeanor anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, DiMaggio liked me. And by being arch guy, I guess it didn't hurt, but I mean, because he always, hey, what'd you do around here? He signed a ball for me. I got a couple of balls.
Yeah,
I got a couple of balls he signed. You know, you understand that Joe, as an Italian, in a lot of ways, you know, the Italian players were the niggas of baseball at one time. You know what I mean? You know, if you look back, they looked down on me, you know what I mean? That Dago, that did that, you know what I mean? You know, there were as many people, that's the other side. And Dusty, make a notation of that. We got to talk more about Joe. I only for a minute.
Joe,
I mean, because, you know, as many people as were rooting for Joe with a hitting streak, there are a lot of people that won. I mean, they were death threats. Somebody stole Joe's bat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody stole Joe's bat. But thanks so much, Rooney, for that good accolade. And because Joe, I mean, because I remember the guy said that. He said, man, you know, Joe, and the thing about it, and, you know, because of his understanding of minorities, and he would love this show because you guys intellect. You know, Art knew what he was talking about. You know, Art would come to Joe and say, hey, Joe, man, I was just thinking about, I remember he told Joe, that catch you made back in the month, because Art was good for that shit, you know, August 23rd, 1927 at 3:07 afternoon, sunshine
absolutely.
And 82 degrees, you know what I mean?
Almost and, like he had a photographic memory.
Yeah, 82 degrees. And he said, Joe, remember that catch, man, you made out near the monument, you know? And I never forget what Joe, put a smile on it, Joe said, I was just trying to knock it down. and I remember, I said, you know, Mr. DiMaggio, I heard that you said somewhere, the first time I ever saw Joe DiMaggio, old timers day, he wasn't revered then, Yankee Stadium. I read something in the article that, in fact, I tell you, it was 76, that he said, it was a Reader's Digest article. He said the one thing he wished he could be was 25 years old and playing baseball again. And I asked him that. Did he say that? I see him now. As I'm going down the steps of the dugout, he's standing there. He's not as revered in 76 as he's going to be. And I said, hi, Mr. DiMaggio. He said, hi. But then again, his respect and affection for African Americans. I said, man, I read some place that you said that. And I asked him, he said, yeah, I said that. I remember at a later time, I was married, I told my wife what he said, and she said, well, anybody 57 years old would want to be 25. He said, yeah, anybody says go 25 and get But I remember, and then I remember asking him about, I said, I read somewhere that you said that, you know, when you got to hit up Satchel Paige exhibition game, you knew you were ready for the major leagues. He said, yeah, yeah. And then he stopped, and he smiled at me. And he looked at me and said, I'll tell you something, though. The older he got, the harder he was to hit. Yeah, I miss Mr. DiMaggio. Me and Art would go out there, because he'd be sitting around people, and they had these guards and people sitting with him, and they would be like, no, don't come near him. And he, hi, Arthur. You know, always call Art Russ off. Hi, Arthur. You know what I mean? And he called me the Dude, you know, because he liked the way I just said the Dude there, you know what I mean? But you know, one thing that you know, he didn't get into the there was a little bit of reserves about putting Joe in the Hall of Fame right away because they thought he may come back and play, as late Bill Shannon said. And the thing they didn't want, you didn't want a guy, you didn't want now a Hall of Famer active. You know, now you can go out to Yankee Stadium and he's in the Hall of Fame and he's playing. You know what I mean? So you wanted to hold off to make sure he wasn't going to come back. But, you know, Joe, I think Joe hit 50 home runs when he at the stadium, you know. I mean, when Alex hit that 50-something, that's the first time anybody, he hit the most since Joe had hit it. And Joe, in a lot of ways, like Mays, was in the wrong ballpark. And there was some serious talk of the trade. And supposedly the drawback had been Yogi Berra. Well, not true that is, but they only wanted to throw Joe in, Yogi in, you know. But, he was, I tell you, another guy that, you know, Kevin McMillan's had kind of got a tag as being that way, but Kevin was a great guy. I remember talking to Kevin, you know, we had a lot of fun. I told Kevin one time, I think about getting married, and Kevin said, what do you want to go do that for? Yeah, and I told him, you know, he had some outstanding. I said, you know what, I said, if you hang in here, you know, a few more years, and I said, yo, you got some good stats that's going to give you some Hall of Fame numbers. You know, a very good player, if he stays long enough, he can put Hall of Fame numbers up. He said, nah, he said, no, I don't have the time to go through all the nonsense stuff. I said, no, I don't want to go through the time, you know what I mean? But, yeah, he was, I remember Larry Bird, and I asked Larry one time, I said, you know, I guess the New York press must be the roughest press. He said, nah, man, he said, the roughest press is the Boston press. He said, the Boston press is the roughest press, you know? Yeah, you know, for him, man, but, it's just and Rigetti and Manley both told me, you know, that in the New York Press, we talked about that before, when you know you're hitting 400, but you're hitting only the 302 in minutes scoring position. You won five games in a row, but the ERA is 4.2. You know what I mean? You got a 10-game hitting streak, yeah, but they're all singles. You say, you know, New York ain't never
well,
happened.
Doc, you know the New York Press is more of a, well, what can we do to sell papers and what have you done for us lately? I mean,
Mooney,
you can have
had hit it right on the head. Hit it right on the head, Mooney. Because in the old days, you were the one guy that covered the team. And you know what? You didn't talk to the players. You talked to the manager. Hey, it's a good game today. Dusty gave us a man. He was eight innings. Man, he was solid eight innings. You know, and, you know, Doc got those two big hits and the home run. That was big. And if you ever notice, if you go back to the old days, the shortage was short. Now he may come back and say, Dusty, were you tired in the eighth inning?
Yeah.
Nah, I really wanted to go another two innings, but Jack came out and he said that, you know, he thought that I should go, and I, you know, so I left. Doc, the pitch hit, that was a curveball, you know.
To New York Press is, Doc and Dust, tell you how the New York Press is. Earlier this year, just to switch for a second, I believe the Jets quarterback, Mark Sanchez, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think during an exhibition game, guy said he got hungry. While he was on the bench, he got a hot dog. Literally a hot dog at the end of the bench during an exhibition game, Doc and Dust. So my thing was, you know, they asked the guy the next day talking about, is it true? You were eating a hot dog. Weren't you eating a hot dog? Yes. Well, do you have anything to say for yourself? And Doc, I'd have said, yeah, I should have got mustard.
Hey, only in America. You know, gang, we got that fight tomorrow, but we're going. I got to make sure we're set for when Sunday. I got to see something for Sunday night.
Well, you're pitching, Doc.
Yeah, we're going.
I got Dusty's pick. You got ours. I never was quite sure you were picking for that rumble.
I got
you. You know what happened last night? You know what happened last night, man? I should have left this thing for an hour. They had this Joe Frazier documentary, and there was something there.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Yeah,
and you know what was amazing?
That? Oh, man.
You know what was amazing? I asked Joe, how was it fighting in the garden? And he said, you know what? He asked, do you know he closed the old garden and opened the new one?
We know that, Doc. We know that.
He closed the old garden with Buster Mathis, and he opened the new garden with Jimmy Ellis.
Big Bus. And Ellis was a pretty good fighter in his own right.
Yeah. And you look at that post-fight interviews of him and Ali, and he's the fresher of the two. He's the fresher of the two. You know what I mean? And
You got to get us an hour.
You know what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to try to call that guy and maybe have him on for Mother's Day. The guy that did the documentary on Joe. Because, see, my beef was this. All these documentaries, you never have anybody from a black perspective. You got Bernard Hopkins, who's middleweight champion of the world. You know, you got Georgie Bitten. Okay, so you got Larry Merchant. You got, he had a couple of white, but where are the black sports writers? Tom Houser had a good line. Houser said, you know what? Ali is a guy now that's revered. Everybody's looking out for us. And Joe was a guy that everybody was rooting for and picking to beat Ali, and nobody's thinking about Joe Frazier now.
Yep, exactly.
You know, nobody's thinking about Joe Frazier now.
About Joe Frazier, Doc. Even though I was always an Ali guy, let me just say this in tribute to Joe, okay? Even though Ali was always my guy, always rooting for him, too. Even to this day, he is my favorite athlete of all time, and he will always be an icon. But let me just say this about Joe Frazier. And Dusty, you'll appreciate this being a former champion. Hell of a warrior.
Ali said in that documentary, he said nobody else could beat Joe Frazier. Outside of me, Joe Frazier's the greatest. Joe killed me. I asked Joe one time, we were talking, man, just about a couple of years ago. I said, Joe, Ali's the best fight you ever fought? He said, yeah, he was the best. He said, but you know, George beat me up.
He did.
He said, George beat me up. He was eating the cookie, you know. He said, he turned to me and said, George
hit him so hard he bounced.
He said, George got mad at me because I wouldn't stay down.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to call that guy and have him join us Sunday. I'm going to call him and have him join us Sunday for Mother's Day. So, okay, we're good for Mother's Day, gang?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock. Okay, gang, happy birthday. Love you, man. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Take care. A pleasure as always.
God bless, man. Okay,
thanks, brother. To all those from the Sports In Depth Nation. Have a good one.
Thanks, Rudy.
Thank you. Take care.
A pleasure. Bye, Doug. I'll talk to you, doctor.
Okay.
Okay, Rudy.
A pleasure.